Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't know why I find it every time. Every Sunday morning when we do this, there's something always amusing happens.
Yeah.
Something. All something. The time.
So. Something funny. Life happens.
Life happening.
Welcome back, Michael Bailey.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. I enjoyed my little trip, and I'm enjoying being here, but, you know, Thursday I'm gone again.
Gone again?
Gone again. Going up north.
Yeah. Heading to Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. Home of who?
Drew Carey.
Drew Carey, Michael Simon. Yeah.
Michael Ruhlman.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And not far from Canton, Ohio, which is the Professional Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah. We're going to do all that.
Right next to the river that caught on fire. It was so polluted back in the 70s.
I'll be damned, really?
Yeah. A friend of mine was from Chicago, and she said we used to always pick on Cleveland about that because they let the river get so polluted it caught on fire.
I'll be darned. Yeah. I'll have to ask.
They have cleaned it up. Cleveland has done a lot of things to dust off their what is that area called? The Rust Bowl. It's like a.
Is that why their colors?
Baltimore and it's all these industrial cities from that were
all the steel mills. Yeah, and all that. Pittsburgh's the same way.
Yeah, it's called the Rust Belt. That's it.
Okay, cool. One important place I'm got to go to.
Got
and
to
my
go.
Cousin told me about, and I forgot about it.
Bogart's Rock and Roll Club in Cincinnati. Greatest rock and roll club on the planet.
That's somewhere else.
Yeah,
that's not, other than the state. The house that they filmed the Christmas Story in.
Oh, okay.
You know, TBS shows it like back to back for 3 days at Christmas time.
Yeah, it's just like
the leg lamp in the window and all that.
Yeah. Frank Geely.
We go to Los Angeles, Leanna, because we were honored nationally, and we go to the award show. Hollywood sign, yeah, Mike would like to see that, you know.
Saw that.
Grauman's Chinese plaza, sure, if we got to, and all that. I want to see the Nakatomi Tower. We're going to drive around till I see the Nakatomi Tower. Then he saw it.
And I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my friend Ross Peterson that swears that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Yeah. It is.
It is. Yeah.
None of the sequels are.
And Pineapple
Nor
belongs
are
on,
none of the sequels
and Pineapple
worth
belongs
watching.
On pizza.
As long as there's no tomato sauce on it. Yeah, I do. My version of Hawaiian pizza actually has ingredients from Hawaii on it, as opposed to
like
Hawaiian pizza, which has Canadian bacon.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say
and
that.
And Italian marinara.
I was going to say that.
There's nothing Hawaiian about that. You just took pineapple and threw it on an already bad
bacon
pizza.
Become Hawaiian.
It spam.
It's like I know, opposite.
You're right. Fry the spam Polar. Into bites. Mm-hmm.
I know.
And you don't use tomato sauce. You use like Maploy or one of those sweet chili sauces with red flakes in it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I still have
and jalapenos.
I still have yet to, over here at Poke Luau, get the spam bowl.
I haven't
done it yet.
The sushi bar at Rouse's and Daphne is doing I forget the name of it.
Yeah,
but the
I saw
spam
that.
Roll.
I saw it in Saraland, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I saw that and I go, what?
Yeah, that's a Hawaiian sushi roll.
Hawaiian sushi roll.
Yeah.
Well,
man, oh man. So how was everything in Laurel today? Everybody remembered you,
Laurel.
Westchestertonville, Fieldville.
You know, I was just going down the memory lane and reminiscing.
Is that where you live?
And
you lived
that.
On memory lane.
Yeah.
I thought you lived on
they
Wilkins
changed
Street.
The name of it.
Oh, it used to be Wilkins Street. Now it's Memory.
I met up with an old high school friend. She was born in the same hospital as I was there, Jones County Community Hospital. Her and her family moved to Mobile. She graduated from high school same day I did. And we went, you know, at our 20-year class reunion, we realized that we were both from Laurel. So she had already moved back, got married, had kids, yada, yada, the thing. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to get up with her and see if she can be my tour guide. Mm-hmm. So we did, and she took me around. And I had the address of the street my parents were living on in Laurel when I was born. So we went looking for that address. Well, they changed the name of it, and it's the place is no longer there. It was the ghettos. So, yes, I was born in the ghettos, like in Elvis Presley. Just like Elvis. And incidentally, this is the anniversary of Elvis's death and Babe Ruth. So, but anyway, going back to
they were
to that,
not connected.
No, and anyway, I got to see, and I remember when we went down that road and I saw the projects, at least they're tearing them down and building nice government housing there in those areas. And but it's right close to the hospital, so I can see my parents, you know, so we need to be close to the hospital. So my dad was in the Marines then. He was stationed at Camp Shelby right down the road from there. Anyway, I did a lot of riding around, looking around. My grandmother's house in Glade, her and her two divorced bachelor uncles all lived in a house together, and they had added a house onto a log cabin. Well, back in 87, I think it was, big tornado went through, 18 miles long.
Took the house, left the log cabin?
Left the log cabin. And there was an old little metal shed left. All the barns were gone, everything was gone. The neighbor's house was still there. It killed two of the neighbors next door that were right behind the church there. But I forgot how many people lost their lives that day. But I remember that real well because when I went, like, weeks later just to go check on my grandmother's house, it was like everything went from color. It's like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Instead of black and white to color, it went from color
to Kansas
to black and white. Yeah. And I drove up to So-So the other day, too, because I had a bad tornado go through not too long ago. It's just death. It's just trees, like, cut off at 10, 12
foot
high.
It's rebirth.
Well, it is rebirth, but it's just.
It sure looks like death, though.
Yeah. You know, you're driving for like a half a mile. You go and you say, wow, this tornado was a half a mile wide. And it's just, you could see the hills. Yeah. Everything's cleared out. And but anyway, my grandma's house has been gone. My other grandparents who were cattlemen up in Collins, gone. Apparently the people who bought their house turned into a chicken farm. It used to be a ranch and turned into
now it's a chicken ranch. But it's not the chicken ranch.
Round up them chickens.
We're going to have us a hen rodeo.
And then my grandfather's house in North Laurel there, it was his garage that he had so much pride in. And I learned to weld in when I was 8 years old. It was gone. It was the roof fell in. You know, people not taking care of things.
Dilapidated.
Yeah, dilapidated. But, you know, it was fun. The important thing was I got to go downtown Laurel. I met Andy McDonald's sister. And what was funny, I go,
same hairdo?
I said, do you happen to have a brother in Mobile, Alabama? She goes, no. Yeah, I do.
She forgot him.
Yep. So I met her. And
well, he lives in Baldwin County, doesn't he? Doesn't he live in Snow? No, he just owns the shop in Stapleton.
He owns.
It's confusing to me, so it could be confusing.
He lives
to
somewhere
her.
Close to Butch Cassidy's, not too far from Butch's.
That's right, Midtownish.
Yeah, and so met her and you know, just rumbled around. And one thing I was a little disappointed in Sunday morning, I thought with all the tourists, I mean, there's tourists everywhere. Everybody's in town because of the HDTV show Hometown. That little cute couple that restores all the houses. They were in, went around, saw his work. I went around, saw his workshop, saw their mercantile store, saw the street that my uncle's barbershop used to be on. Great memories. But there's just places full of tourists, but there's no place to eat breakfast at. None of those places were open for brunch. And
yeah, well, I told you when we went to Hattiesburg, which, you know, is a suburb of Laurel.
Yeah.
And that Sunday morning, we went downtown, and downtown was rocking, but nothing was open. And I think that's...
There's a lot of nightclubs in downtown Hattiesburg, I noticed.
Well, this was Sunday morning.
Yeah, I know, but we went to the that big, what's called the Rabbit Hole or something,
disco dancing?
Antique store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't go disco dance. I don't have my stacks anymore.
That prop you up to a nice, firm, tall, 5 foot seven.
But I had a good time, and me and Susan had a good time. Or Susan's her name, and Class of 76. Go Warriors.
Yeah. Folks, you want to get in on the conversation, it's 343-0106. We'll be back to talk about other stuff. Losing weight without
speed eating sunflower seeds. Drinking like... To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
You know, yes, I ate at some good places up there, especially the Loft. You saw that big old ribeye I had. The thing was like 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
No bone in. And I got to think, you know, I do like the meat around the bone, but, you know, that diet, that showed me you're paying for something that you're not going to eat. And I know flavor's one thing and all that, but I still miss my places here in Mobile. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't wait to get back. And I'm so glad that some of them are finally opening back up.
Yeah, like Applebee's. Applebee's getting ready to not be anywhere.
Well, there was a bunch of chains up there closed. Yeah, it is. Ward's was open, though.
There were.
Ward's was open. Yeah. Ward's Hamburgers were open over there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I have eaten this week. I've eaten at a Bob's Downtown Diner. I've eaten there twice, actually. They're reopened. Get out there and support them. Butch Cassidy's reopened, and you were telling us a while ago that somebody else is about to open up.
T.P. Crockmeyer's.
Woohoo! I know everybody's been excited, waiting on that one.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah.
And, and
institution in Mobile. They're,
with
their penny floor. How much? I forgot how many dollars and pennies that is down on that floor.
12.
But I saw somebody post a picture. You know, they're talking about this chain shortage. Mm-hmm. They went to a bar, and there was... bar top was covered in coins with lamination over top of it. And, you know, if that happened years ago, that didn't just happen. So this is why we got chain shortage. No, they can press coins anytime they want to. We don't have that down here, but
there just has to be somebody at the Mint to actually do it, which there hasn't been.
Yeah, because of COVID-19.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, go back to that rib
the
I had.
The beige plate.
That rib I had at the Loft. That thing was delicious. But... I talked to the owner because I had some issues that night.
Uh-uh.
They have no wine list. And he's been open for 11 years. He said, I've never had a wine list. I go, what? And he says, well, every time I print something, people come in and say, I want this wine in there. And I said, well, just do a chalkboard, a bistro chalkboard. Put your wines up there, let them pick it up. I said, the girl had to go in and go to the monitor on the screen and write down on a yellow pad. Right. What wine is that?
Oh, yeah. The chalkboard's a great idea.
I love the – it's a silent salesperson. Mm. What if you say, I don't want a wine. No, I'm not going to drink wine tonight. And all of a sudden, the kid next to you is screaming in the table next to you go, oh, yeah, I think I will. Look at that. By the glass special. I'll have two glasses.
And
change your mind
bottle.
Real quick.
Well, we –
Did you miss me?
You were gone?
No.
Well,
we certainly didn't miss you last Sunday because we had a special guest host.
Yes.
Yeah. And Heather Dennis.
Would Heather be that name?
Yes. She did really well. I don't know if you've listened to it. You've never heard of one of our shows before.
No, I have a policy for that
That's
reason.
Ridiculous.
For a reason.
Well, it's a silly
And there's a reason I don't listen to the show.
Yeah. But you weren't on it, so there's no self-critiquing to go on. You just don't care about us.
I'm busy.
He doesn't care about us, Leanna.
I have three jobs. I'm busy.
Yeah.
And I'm especially busy this week.
Yeah.
Because I got to finish packing.
Yeah, to go to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we ventured out Friday night. We were treated by Heather's folks. Her stepdad got a great new job.
Yeah.
So they took us out to dinner to celebrate. Her mom was craving seafood. Where do y'all want to go? Ed's Seafood Shed. It was very handy because I was closing that night.
Yeah.
So that's on my route back. So I was able to get there by 7:30 and just had a great time. You know, Ed's is always fantastic. They had a good crowd, very good crowd. Parking would have made you think it was full, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just parking was pretty full. And everything was terrific. And Heather's mother, craving seafood all week, and she gets a steak. But, you know, she got to try seafood from all of us, so some gumbo and all that. So she got her craving taken care of. We had a wonderful time. And then last night, Heather's, we're just sitting there yesterday. I was off. We've been thinking what we were going to do with the Saturday off together. We thought about going to Pensacola.
And listen. I did see this on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And,
me too.
Yeah. So we tried, and kudos to the folks who opened it for opening during a pandemic. But Bob Baumhauer, Steve Zucker, the folks there at Aloha, opened up La Floriditas in the basement, mm-hmm. The big old building next to mm-hmm. the Bienville Square.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is a Cuban speakeasy. We did have to have a password to get mm-hmm. in.
Yeah, right.
And then when you give them the correct password, a bookshelf opens up behind the hostess stand. And
oh, wow.
They escort you, sneak you in.
So, you know, it's downtown, basement of the second tallest building downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And who lives around the corner? Never gets a call, never gets a text.
You ain't getting that on date night.
They never invite me anywhere.
I didn't get an invitation either.
And then when Stu used to kind of invite me, he said, hey, I'm here, but I'm almost through eating.
So
I'll be here
right
for a minute.
Now.
And by the time you get there, oh, I'm done. I'll see you later.
Well, yeah, I went down to eat. When I finished eating, I went home.
I got some friends from Daphne that do that same thing. I wonder where
you mean act normal?
They'll post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I wonder where Mike Bailey is. And so I see it and I call him. I say, I'll be there, man. Well, we're almost through.
Yeah.
I don't. You didn't really want to see me then.
Nah, not really. No.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to be the fifth wheel.
Yeah. But La Floriditas last night was a great experience.
I've heard.
It is beautiful. It's comfortable. The couch that we sat on, the leather couch was just great. The music is fantastic. I love Afro Cubano music. Plus they threw in some Shakira and Ricky Martin.
Huh?
Tito Puente.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I told Heather of Tito Puente's story. He was in a cab in Europe, and Santana came on Oyo Como Va, and he kind of kicks his head to the side. You know, because Tito wrote it and made it a hit in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't know Carlos Santana had covered it. So he kind of tilted his head, and the guy goes, oh, you like that? It's Oyo Como Va. It's by Carlos Santana. And Tito Puente goes, oh, really? It's by Carlos Santana, huh? And it, just sitting there, because he's the guy who wrote it, made it famous. But that just lets you know, generations. There was a tweet one time when I think it was Kanye did a duet with Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, I don't know who this McCartney guy is, but if Kanye found him, he's going to be a star one day.
Oh.
Well, right after that.
10 years from now, people will remember Paul McCartney. Not so fast, Kanye.
Yeah, after the Academy Award, the Grammy Awards one night, Paul McCartney went to a house party of a rapper there in L.A., mm-hmm. And they wouldn't let him in because they didn't know who he was.
And he's just like, I wrote everything you've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's been interesting because of the music mixes that I have on Pandora and mm-hmm. such. The Beatles come up often. And it's interesting to watch Heather go, oh, what is this? On some things that are the Beatles, and the other one's like, turn that up.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff she just hates.
Yeah.
Doesn't know why.
Yeah,
other stuff, she's just like, that's great. And what I've come down to is she likes everything George Harrison did.
Hmm. Well, I've got everything that Brandon had,
mm-hmm.
All his CDs, Beatles stuff, and I'll just keep it playing because, and you know, sometimes at the wine bar, I'll put on Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I say, Alexa, whatever.
Yeah.
I said, play Billy Joel. Hmm. And I'm going to tell you what, it went on for almost 6 hours and they didn't play the same song twice.
Hmm.
And because I said, God, I didn't realize he wrote that many songs. He did. I mean, he wrote a ton of songs.
I used to work at one place where we were only allowed to play classic rock.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a problem with that. The young kids did. They wanted to hear mm-hmm. anything but classic rock. And then it dawns on me, Rush is a classic rock band.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Rush-only station on TuneIn Radio, and I would just play that. Mm-hmm. And the customers would never know because Rush's sound was so diverse over the 40 years that they mm-hmm. performed together that they just thought it was different bands each time, yeah. and the singer sounded really nasally in each one.
I tell you, I've been going to – I'm just trying to eat lighter, and even though it's rice –
I saw that with that sandwich that you had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to eat lighter. I've been eating rock and roll sushi mm-hmm. a good bit. And yeah, and
stay away from the fried rolls though, because it defeats the purpose.
I don't care. I love the fact that he's taken old albums and put the menu on the inside. Mm. Of,
oh, I love
of
that.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
But I understand he used to work for Hard Rock Cafe, and he come up, and they play classic rock in there.
Yeah,
and I always order either the Kiss or. What's the
Motley Crue. Motley Crue's good. But we got to, you know, we can reminisce about your sushi habits later. When we come back, Travis Patterson's going to be here. We're going to talk about the BCA barbecue competition next week at the grounds.
Ooh.
Get a table near the street in our old familiar place. You and I face to face. Mm-hmm. A bottle of red.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When the kids are drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoody, you to drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoody, you to drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoody, you to drink wine, mop, mop, pass that bottle to me.
Well, pass that bottle to me. I love when they pass the bottle to me.
Of course.
So anyway, Stu is preoccupied right now. He's trying to do something. What you trying to do, Stu?
Were you not here during all of that?
Hey, listen.
You're sitting in the same room the rest of us are.
Off the air, we got a phone call from Tony Sawyer, Bob's Downtown Diner. Let me tell you what that guy does. That guy does so much fundraising. It's not even funny. He got on Facebook yesterday. There's this kid that needed a van that's wheelchair accessible. Mm-hmm. They found one for sale. And he posted on Facebook. And the motorcycle people, you know, these people have big hearts. They do mm-hmm. fundraising all the time. Within a few hours, they needed $2,600. Within a few hours, they had it on Facebook.
That's
and they were able
right
to
there.
Get they're able to get this van for this little kid in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are real sensitive right now about children. Mm-hmm. With what's going on with child trafficking and mm-hmm. the little small kids that have been innocently
let's not
killed.
Bring the Clintons into this.
No. Yeah. little small kids that have been murdered or killed mm-hmm. in the last several months. So people are real sensitive. So I think people just have a big heart. And mm-hmm. there are great people out there, and we're great people. I'm a great people, and you're a great people, and Leanne's a great people, and Phil's a great people. So – open them wallets up, folks. Get out there and support those restaurants and support
fantastic.
Those that do things like that.
All right. You see that pen right there?
What's I see that.
Go ahead and read what it says. It's okay.
Exactly
what it says.
Burn.
Come on.
Burn.
My niece, Ruthie, just moved onto campus yesterday.
Good for her.
At Auburn. For her second semester. She did
all
the
right.
first semester during the summer.
Awesome.
As soon as she graduated high school at Davidson, she's enrolled at Auburn, took her classes, and aced her first semester already.
Oh, there's a lot
good
of kids
job.
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, Ruthie is, she's all business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has fun, and, you know.
She'll have fun later.
Yeah, well, she mixes in the fun. She does a good job with that. You know, her father is Ben Harper from Mithril.
Okay.
And so she's very talented musically.
Awesome.
She's already played The People's Room
mm-hmm.
Before, and including headlining a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Ruthie to death, and I can't wait for her to spend the next 4 years in God's country. And because
she'll probably finish before that, depending on what she's taking.
That's true. Nursing, but I wouldn't be surprised if she knocked out 2-3 degrees while she was there.
I'm here.
I'm not doing anything Saturday. Let me knock out this little associate's degree in something mm-hmm. crazy like geology.
So I love stories people. Like that.
Yeah,
I love stories like that.
Yeah. So I am very proud of my niece who is headed on out, and We are efforting our guest, Travis Patterson, but I'll tell you what I can about what's going on this weekend at the grounds. It's our first cook-off that's actually taking place.
Mm-hmm.
It's the BCA barbecue competition. Friday night, there's a little get-together with all the teams, and they're going to have a little cook-off just for that opening ceremony that's food on a stick, which is right up your alley. Yeah, food on a stick. And you should get a pepperoni stick on a stick. Then you can have a stick on a stick. Think about that, Mike. But Saturday is the big shindig.
You're challenging my brain here. Yeah.
Yeah. Saturday is the big deal at the grounds. They're going to start off with a kids competition. The kids have to cook a chicken leg. And then comes the main event. I believe he's going to have chicken. It's going to have pulled pork, ribs, and brisket.
Mm-hmm.
And I have volunteered to judge all of them. Everyone, I want to try it all.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really looking forward to it. And
y'all can't put this off till I get back.
No, we specifically waited to see when you were going out of town. But Deborah Hodges put us in contact with him, and I think David Calametti's working with him. We're going to try and make it a World Food Championship qualifier, I believe.
Cool.
But Travis tells me that the judging is going to be very easy. Because they're not going by all the KFCBS standards or anything like that. It's just going to be, is it juicy and does it taste good? So I think I can handle those qualifications.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike?
Oh, I could certainly do that, but I appreciate y'all doing this while I'm gone.
Yeah, well, like I say, it took a lot of work by a lot of people to make sure you were going to be out of town for it.
Figures.
We had to bribe your family to
do this,
to put up with.
Well, I was wondering why they kept putting me off.
They were trying to get that price up.
They broke through the pandemic. They couldn't use that excuse anymore.
Yeah,
they needed the money.
They're clearly members of your family because they're sitting here going, "They got this guy claiming to be a long lost relative. The best time to meet him's got to be during a
the
pandemic.
The hottest summer.
Yeah,
hottest."
During
month
a pandemic
of the year.
With the beige plague descending on the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, can we watch this?
Is it going to be?
You going to do a Facebook Live?
No, I mean, with the cook-off, is it going to be?
I do not know. That would be good. But I
get my friend Gene out there with his drone.
Watch out, a bald eagle take it out.
Yeah, I saw that.
A bald eagle will take out a $950 drone.
Yeah.
In case you did not know. Easily.
Hey, look, we were talking, you mentioned brisket, and I think before the show started, Leanne, they were talking about brisket and all
because,
that.
Because, you know, Gary's. Rouse's has it for $1.99 a pound up until Wednesday, which is like 1980 prices.
Our friend Garen, who's going to
Garen
take
Allen.
My place next week.
Yeah.
You'll never take my place.
No.
Anyway, he did a brisket.
Mm-hmm.
And brisket, I just love brisket. And I ate some brisket last week at Buster's Barbecue that you turned me on to a long time ago.
Yeah.
Then some friends of mine bought it. But he knows when I walk in there, he knows to get that fatty burn inside, chop it up. Not chop it up, but cut it up in cubes and slice it and no sauce. Anyway, brisket and beef ribs, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question.
Okay, go for it.
All right, I cooked both, and I've had this friend from high school said overcooked it each time. Now,
was it falling off the bone?
It was tender and juicy. It wasn't red in the middle. It's not ribeye. It's not filet.
Right. It's supposed to be cooked to 180 degrees minimum.
180 degrees.
Right.
Exactly. And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And it looked, I guess in my picture, it made it look well done.
Mm-hmm.
But that stuff was juicy and tender.
Did you have your pink line, though?
Smoke line, I had my smoke line. You could definitely see that. Had that nice bark.
Sounds like they confused it with prime rib.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm going, you don't know what you're talking
you
about.
You can't eat brisket if it's not well done. It's you have to do that low and slow process and cook it all the way to break down all the connective tissue because it's not something you can eat like a steak.
Mm-hmm.
Your teeth will fall out.
Yeah.
And it is incredibly tough. And it was, for the longest time, it was just a throwaway piece because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a number of different cultures along the way. In Poland, they would brine it.
Yeah.
And then boil it. And we call that corned beef. And that came to this country through Jewish and Polish delicatessens in New York. Then a similar process, brine it, boil it a little, smoke it some. That's pastrami.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a slow cook method. Traditional Jewish brisket, which our good friend Sarah Lubitz just shared with me her father's brisket recipe, and I'm going to give that a try coming up.
Cool.
Is braised low and slow.
I'll never
in the
be
oven.
Invited to that either.
If anyway. I have anything to do with it. and then in Texas, they put it over coals and slow smoked it.
Yeah.
Slow and slow. I mean, you can't cook brisket anything but well done and be able to chew.
Absolutely.
It just because of the nature of that particular cut.
And it's almost the same with the beef ribs, too. Mm-hmm. I know they look like the Flintstone end of the Flintstones.
Rare.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they
grilled.
Still have
but
a,
that's grilled. It's not barbecue.
Right. Mine's smoked.
Yeah. If it's barbecue,
mine.
It's got to be all the way done.
Yeah.
Because barbecue and grilling are not the same thing.
Right.
We use them interchanged, but they're incorrect.
Yeah.
Barbecue is always low and slow.
Right.
Grilling is hot and fast and has nothing to do with grill grates.
Mm-hmm.
When you cook a hamburger in a cast iron skillet, you are grilling that burger.
Mm-hmm.
Grilling is a cooking technique of high direct heat.
Yeah.
That's all it means. So it can be a barbecue grill, it can be a gas grill, it can be an iron skillet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all grilling.
Yeah. Rose Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows her. She started the Mosley's Meat Market,
mm-hmm.
her and her husband. She always used to say that the rump roast mm-hmm. was probably the worst piece of meat in a cow. And that's why you would put it in a crock pot and cook it slow and all day long
and get it
while you're
down.
At church and get it to break down. Because
yeah.
there's no marbling whatsoever right. in the meat. It's just solid meat.
Yeah,
it's tough.
It's just muscle. You and it doesn't have as much flavor as brisket because mm-hmm. it doesn't have the connective tissue running through it that brisket does.
Absolutely. And I've
noticed. That's where the flavor comes from is the breaking down of the connective tissue. And that's what you're looking for anytime mm-hmm. you're smoking something.
Yeah. And I remember just taking a little small paring knife and punching holes in it and shoving garlic and black peppercorns down in my rump roast mm-hmm. a long time ago. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah. In case you can afford more tender cuts that have flavor. But the rump makes a good cube steak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's where we get it from.
What would you say makes the best beef jerky?
I don't know. I don't know anything
about beef jerky. I always done it with a
tenderloin?
London Broil.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's not hardly any marbling in that at all.
London Broil is another piece. Mm-hmm. That is a... We have two different categories of steaks. There's braising steaks and grilling steaks.
Mm-hmm.
And grilling steaks, you can do medium rare. Braising steaks all have to be well done. London Broil mm-hmm. is one of them. A little bit of liquid in there, low and mm-hmm. slow, and break it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably with that, I would have a California-style Pinot Noir.
Really?
And not an Oregon style, because Oregon's more Burgundian, earthy, barnyard, dirty. Yes,
well,
of course.
If I had a dime every time I heard someone refer to Oregon as Burgundian.
Anyway, but yeah, Cabernet and Pinot Noir from California.
From California.
From
Texas?
No.
Are there any?
I haven't had any wines from Texas in quite a while. Texas makes in Grapevine, mm-hmm. north of Dallas. You know, you're getting up there, you get near the hill country.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting some good wines up there because mm-hmm. it's dry.
Dry.
The humidity is what kills grapes down here. That's why you can't grow nothing but scuppernong down here.
Muscadine. You can grow muscadine.
Well, that too. Yeah. But the humidity, and that's why there's only like a few little berries on each bundle,
mm-hmm.
Because the humidity won't allow for more. They'll rot mm-hmm. from the inside. And I always
thought it's not noble rot,
but I always thought that, though.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, wouldn't that be like noble rot? No, it's not.
No, it's just straight
up
rot.
It rains too much here.
Yeah.
You got to have dry conditions to suck the mineral out of the ground.
But I understand that parts of our area are fantastic for growing olives.
But yes. Mm-hmm. But of course.
Yeah. 3430106 got one last segment to do. One less and one last.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, we must have sparked somebody's interest in something.
Must have.
We must have said something.
Have something to do with my flounder gig?
Maybe something like that.
We have a caller that has some questions. About
probably
going to
be over our heads.
But yeah. Well, what is it? Good morning. Who are we talking with?
Good morning. It's Kate over in Mobile. Y'all mentioned some olives in this area. I'm pretty interested in that. Yeah, I don't know much about it. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit, about where they're growing them. I will say this.
I looked into it like 10 years ago, and there are heat-hardy olives. And Bill Finch, I don't know if he'll agree with me or not. It might be a question for him you could ask. But I know when I was looking to purchase some, I was going to go to a nursery in southwest Georgia, like kind of like, you know, Dothan's like on the way to nowhere. Well, this area of Georgia is that way, and you just got to go out of your way.
It's 15 minutes past nowhere.
Yeah, and they had these big nurseries that sold olive plants. Now, you got winter. I know you do have winter hardy olive trees, and you got you know, it's the heat, Mediterranean heat, that they I think they thrive in, because I watch a lot of those shows in Italy and France. And,
well, what I understand is there is a swath of the southeast from about Savannah, Georgia, that runs due west pretty much up to Mobile Bay, and that little swath of land is as good an area to grow olives as there is. It just... there aren't a whole lot of people.
I know Mr. Eddins has some planted at Perdido Vineyards.
Perdido Vineyards, And so, that's what I say. It's a great area to grow them. I don't know if anybody's doing it commercially, though.
That's one good thing that Google is good about.
If you want to do it, Mike and I would be happy to come out and taste your olive oil.
Okay.
I'd love to help you press it. I'll help you press it.
I saw where they were growing some out there, and I call them the Badlands of Southwest Texas, down near by the border. When I was driving 18-wheelers, I'd go out there and I'd see a few plantings of those out there. But, you know, when you're doing 70 miles an hour, it's hard to...
Look, when Greece is probably the hottest country in Europe, would you think?
Yeah, or Spain.
118, 130 in Spain. Yeah, they grow olive trees like crazy out there.
Yeah, and Tunisia, Northern Africa, produces lot of olives and great olive oil. So, and, you know, they've had success finally in Northern California and Oregon growing some of the best olives for olive oil in the world.
Well, those are probably more winter
Hardy. It's also the volcanic soil like you would find in northern Italy. So it's a different type of olive.
Yeah, well, that's why there's so many different type of trees.
And, but we appreciate you calling in, Kate, and bringing it up. And like I say, the next show, that's another good guy to ask about that too, Bill Finch with Gulf Coast Gardening, because that man knows everything about a plant, I'll tell you right now.
In our area,
all right,
for sure.
I'm going to make him put his thinking cap on.
All right, thanks a lot, Kate.
All right, thanks for calling. Every now and then, somebody's awake out there and listen to us.
Yep. We were talking about places that are open again.
Yeah.
Another great one. You haven't been there yet, but you need to. Jade Flames out in West Mobile, past Leroy Stevens on Cottage Hill.
I got to go that far.
You need to get the ribeye banh mi and just thank me for it. That is it. I've said it's both the best banh mi I've ever had, which is a French-influenced Vietnamese po' boy, for those of you who don't know. And it's the best steak sandwich I've ever had. It's just
hands
phenomenal.
Down. Hands down. Right?
And the closest I've come to one this good is only stuff I've made. And
are you bragging about yourself now?
Well, since I'm pretty good at cooking, I know how to make one exactly the way I like it, which means a lot of horseradish cream that's made with sour cream, not mayonnaise.
Will
pungent
Rogers
cheese,
said,
blue cheese, brie that's melted on there works.
Will Rogers said, if it's the truth, you ain't lying.
Well, isn't he something?
Or something like that.
Yeah. He was a great American, Will Rogers.
America. Yeah. Great America hero.
Yeah.
I saw him play a bad guy on TV the other day.
Will Rogers acted? He acted?
I think so.
You sure you're not confusing him with Wayne Rogers or maybe Will Smith?
No. He was on. I watched those old westerns on the Grit Channel. I'm hooked. I was watching John Wayne. I saw John Wayne in a movie. He was a kid last night. I think it's called Tall Cowboy or something like that.
Heather saw, I introduced her to her first John Wayne movie. you know, it's just a name, you know, for her generation. It's, you know, it's a name, mm-hmm. no understanding. And it was the Quiet Man that I watch every year for St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of, she's like, man, that's a man there. Yes. And he is, he was everything he played in the movies.
Yeah.
He was tough as nails in real life. One lung, still going blue marlin fishing with a cigarette in each hand.
Well, I saw why he got one lung. And last night he got stabbed in the chest with a knife. So that's why he's got one lung,
I guess. I believe it was the Sons of Katie Elder.
Yeah.
Where they had the shootout and he's laying in a river. That was after he had given up a lung that he shot.
I'm going to tell you.
And he still getting, he, that was a man.
You can look at these westerns, mm-hmm. and there's always, they're going to go out on a trail.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to leave town, go out on in the trail.
Mm-hmm. Which is right outside of L.A.
And they're going to be around the campfire eating some grub, some beans and stuff around the campfire.
Yeah, especially Blazing Saddles.
And then somebody's going to get in a fight. Mm-hmm. They have a fight scene.
Yeah.
And then they have a fight in a bar scene.
Yeah.
And the women are treated really bad in the western days, you know. I don't know if they were in the way or what it was.
Yeah.
No, you can't go with me. There's going to be snakes there.
Maureen O'Hara stood her ground.
Who?
Maureen O'Hara stood her ground.
I love that movie, her and John Wayne.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. Here's a stick to beat the lovely lady.
But I can always tell. It's like the Hallmark Channel with their Christmas shows. Different actors, same plot.
Yeah,
same fight formula. Around a campfire. Somebody shoots at you while you're riding through the woods.
Yeah, I forget which Duke movie it was, and he's like, somebody ought to punch you in the mouth, but it's not going to be me. It won't be me. The hell it won't, and then he knocks him in the mouth.
That's where they all slid down the muddy hole.
Yeah. I've
seen that 100 times.
Is that McClintock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a funny movie.
Yeah.
That was funny. They don't make movies like that anymore.
No, they don't. See, but they do make movies
the
like Endgame.
There's scene right there on our screen, our monitor. Yeah.
I'll tell you, man, in a year or so, I'm going to have – this is unheard of in the restaurant industry, but now I'm a butcher – I'm going to have paid vacation. Ooh. And we have been looking at a dude ranch in the Grand Teton Mountains for a week. You need to go somewhere? Hop on a horse.
Nice.
And Heather, we were watching. I was thinking, I always wanted to do this as a kid, but my parents were like, we grew up doing that. It's not fun to us. It's going back to working as a child in our eyes. So we never did it. And I was like, well, let's see. At least the scenery will be good. It's 20 minutes of something to watch on YouTube. And she was just like, we can ride a horse all day long every day. I went, well, yeah. And she goes, I'm in. Let's go. And it's just so – it's the only –
what used to be a job for some people, people pay money to go do now.
Yeah. And it used – there used to be dude ranches in every national park out west. And this is the only one that still operates within a national park. And it's just gorgeous. She can go horse riding. I can go down to the creek and do some fishing. Yeah. We can go four-wheeling. Or we can just sit around a cabin all day and not do nothing. Look at the Rocky Mountains off in the distance.
Those are some very impressive mountains.
They are. I have heard people who world travel and see the Alps and the Himalayas.
I've been over the Alps like four or five times.
That's impressive. They all say from a mountain climber standpoint, there's no more intimidating mountain range on the planet than the Rockies. And
or the Tetons.
I don't know. I don't have anything. Well, that's in the
Tetons. Is, I know, but the mountains are different.
Yeah.
The mountains are different in the Tetons for some reason.
Yeah.
It's
then
the Earth got mad. And,
and I also want to go to the Black Hills again, which I've been to a couple of times, Rapid City, Mount Rushmore. All of that. I haven't seen the Crazy Horse Monument, which is nearby, and I really want to see that because that's going to be spectacular. It's like twice the size of Mount Rushmore. Oh, we're going to take it out a little home free.
Folks, get out there and support local, be local, buy local.
Yep, absolutely.
Tip extra. Be extra generous.
Be generous right now because these people in the restaurant industry, I mean, the closings every week, restaurants closing, restaurants closing. So, and above all else, you must provolone. Yeah.
As long as you're tipping, it's a place to heal and a place to hurt. After a long week of hell, it's like Sunday church. You'll hear dirty jokes and the gospel truth. A jukebox choir singing in a corner booth. We
sins, bring your pain. Everybody's welcome at the Church of the Dive Bar Saint.